Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from Mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to Mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
Yo!
Jason Rowe! Jason Rowe!
Come on,
again,
Jared.
Jason Rowe.
What?
Really?
What?
You can't start every show with a friend. Every time. What?
He listens to the show. I want him to hear it.
Yeah, and let me ask you this.
I want him to be excited.
Let me ask you. Look, we know and love the band, but let me ask you this. Is he a world-renowned hero? Let me ask you that. Is he? Because if he is, say his name. Scream it from the fucking mountaintops. Get on the roof of Black Rifle Coffee right now and scream his fucking name if he's a hero. But if he's not, then introduce our guest like a goddamn gentleman, Jared.
Draw straight out the gate on that one. I like that. Straight out the motherfucking gate.
Look at him. He's scolding me.
He is.
That was a scold, but
slightly rightfully so.
He did make me feel bad. We do have a very special guest with us tonight. Mr. Alex Garlados.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy. Thank you for having me, guys.
Oh, you're such a kind soul.
I appreciate it.
I did say this.
I was a little more excited for Clint Romache, but you're a solid second. You know?
That's all right.
You're like,
listen,
you can't bang my mom,
you
can bang my sister level.
You know what? I'm excited. Hey, Alec.
My mom is the most important.
Oh, okay.
I will say this. Alec, I am amped to have any and all heroes on the show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not hero. Like, I don't hero shame. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because you didn't get a medal, I'm not gonna hero shame you for that. You saved a whole goddamn train full of people. Some
I got
Parisians.
A soldier's medal, okay?
That's a good one. Soldier's medal is a good one.
Yeah.
We'll get into the bread and butter after the sponsors. If you don't know Alec, he was part of the Paris train incident a while back, and we'll get into those details later.
Do we call it an incident?
Is it a terrorist attack?
Foiled. He foiled a terrorist attack is what he did,
right?
That's pretty cool.
Well,
if you've foiled something,
yeah,
like that's a boss.
The only
move.
Fucking thing I've foiled is some cookies, you know. yeah. But I'm happy to be back in the show. I missed out on the last two. So
it was a couple. Yeah,
it's good to be back, Ross. I missed you.
In there.
I missed you as well. It's great to hear your tender little voice. You've got it tonight.
Oh, it's just so nice.
You've got honey in that voice tonight. I can feel it.
What the fuck is wrong? You're over there just praising him blindly with compliments, and I get chewed out for yelling the name of the guitarist for Breaking Benjamin that listens to our show that we're excited about.
Let me ask you this. When you walk into Subway, do you scream out spicy Italian and then order another sandwich? And then order another? No. But before you order another sandwich, oh, I'll take a meatball. What the fuck were you screaming out spicy Italian when you walked
that
through the door?
I get, all right.
You know? Like, come
spicy
on.
Meatball. Spicy. I'll have the Italian. No,
yeah, I'll have the.
It's fucking with the brains.
But I thought the intro is where we just get to yell.
No, that, you just made
no,
that up.
No,
I get excited.
Jared. I love how Jared thinks the podcast is just yelling and drinking.
hey, just, Ross, at least he's not laying on the floor this episode, okay?
Yeah.
But he does have some brown liquor, so I'm
It's
scared.
A long night, Matthew.
It's a long night.
And there's two episodes.
Exactly. We're going back to back. We're going Drake tonight in this motherfucker. And Jared could be on the floor. Hey, Alec, welcome to the show. We're gonna get to some sponsors first that pay for this little shindig to be on. I know you've been on Dancing the Stars. You know what the sponsors are like. And on this one, we got some straight class coming out the gate with a little sponsor we like to call Havenlock.com.
Oh,
that's
shit.
HAvenLock.com.
Like I said, I got 99 problems, but a lock ain't one, you know?
You're goddamn right it's not. Look, kids, do you feel safe at your house? Do you feel safe next to your wife and your baby and your kid? Do you feel safe on a train? Guess what? If you think you could feel safer, go to havenlock.com and get a lock. Jam it underneath a fucking door in the side of that bitch. Nobody's getting in there. Typically, it takes about 3 kicks to get through a door. With the Haven Lock, it takes more than 50. And with that gives you enough time to fucking
I got a bone to pick with Haven Lock,
these
Ross.
Motherfuckers.
I got a bone to pick with Haven
I know.
Lock. They sent a Haven Lock to my house, and my wife put it on the fridge.
Yeah, was there a Haven Lock on the door, and they couldn't get through it?
I couldn't get into the fridge.
Did you order extra Jimmy John's because you couldn't get your deli meat?
No, I'm mad because I've kicked that fridge like a solid 12 times until I ran out of breath.
Yeah, you did, because you know what? You need more than fucking 50 kicks to get through that goddamn fridge door with a Haven Lock. Go to havenlock.com. They are all veteran-owned up in that mug. Look, type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get $20 off the lock, which is, I mean, it's almost like stealing it at that point. It really is. Their website's super easy to use.
Stealing and supporting, so it's not like a really stealing.
That's what I'm saying, but it's $99. It's fucking cheap as shit. And the website's easy. Just go, literally, you go to the homepage, click buy, and you're good to go. Next up, God damn it. I don't even know if I have to say it. I feel ashamed that I have to say it. I feel sad for myself that I have to say it. I'm talking about StrikeForceEnergy.com. Oh, man, I miss those sound effects. I miss those sound effects.
You know, it's been a while. I feel like the sponsors need some sound effects, even though they're shitty and douchey. I'm going to still go for them.
The sound effects are, not the sponsors.
No. I'm talking about my sound effects. Not
your
the
sound effects are great. You're too hard on yourself. You're like a young white Michael Winslow. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Strike Force. You know,
Strike Force.
It's like if you're looking to
bang out your 23-year-old girlfriend and you're running out of energy, drink Strike Force.
If your calves are feeling tight and you need to loosen them up in the bedroom, drink some Strike Force Energy. It's the tastiest, tiniest little tin pouch of magic energy juice on the land. Kick the can. You don't need a fucking can anymore.
Kick the can.
Get one of these packets. They ship anywhere in the entire fucking world, including France, Alec. You type in the promo code Drinking Bros, you get 20% off every order. They got a subscription. Not only that, but they just sent two of those bottles in my house of the 100 serving one, the 750
dude,
milliliter.
Those are the shit.
The greatest thing ever fucking created.
So Strike Force Alk is like, it's a energy drink that we all love, and it comes in a little fucking like little pouch like this, but it's liquid. They have a dispenser. Ooh. So you literally hold your cup under and you go, and it fucking, dude, it's the jam because you ain't ripping open it's like a fucking soap dispenser.
Yeah, it's like Starbucks.
Sanitizer of energy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay. It's fucking rad.
Yeah. So go to StrikeForceEnergy.com for all your delicious energy drink needs. God damn it. It's the best on the planet. We love it. We love it so much. Next up, we've got a sweet home defense ammunition. It's a little company called TartarusOrdnance.com. That's TartarusOrdnance.com.
You spell obnoxiously quick. I couldn't have read that before.
It's
That's
tough.
Impressive.
Like it's a tough one, but you know what? It makes your shot easy. Go to TartarusOrdnance.com for all your home defense ammunition needs. They also sell firearms there, which is fucking amazing. Use the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of everything in the entire store. That is not only including their weaponry. That is including their ammunition, and that's like if you're teaching a tactical class. You need 50,000 rounds worth of shit. It counts for that, too, which is crazy. That's a lot of savings,
you know? If you need a pew, you know what to do. That should be their slogan. If you want a pew, you know what to do.
Oh, man, that's actually amazing. Yeah, if you want a pew, you know what to do. Go to TartarusOrdnance. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off of all your fucking bullets. next up, we just found out, Matthew, you were gone, by the way, but we got warfightertobacco.com. We found out that Rocco is now a partner in that.
Rocco is a partner. Look at that. I like it.
Yeah, we didn't know. We got surprised on the last show. We love the cigars. Now we love them even more.
Yeah, Rocco's their brother, so I'm loving it. I'm like McDonald's up in this bitch. Here. I'm loving it.
Same here. And it fits together. Like, that's a nice relationship, you know?
Well, yeah, he's the one that
big
smokes
guy
cigars.
That smokes
the,
cigars. The you know, you got a big guy.
Yeah.
Is that your description?
Yeah.
How is that relevant?
Nowhere near it. Nowhere near it, Jared. Boy. It's like walking in a Subway with you and just I'll take that tuna. Nope. Definitely gonna I'm gonna have the ham sandwich. I'm gonna have that ham sandwich. look, go to warfightertobacco.com for the finest cigars in the land. Real men smoke cigars. They don't smoke out of hookahs. They're made with Cubano seeds in the Dominican Republic, hand rolled by all of Rocco's relatives.
I think this is kids. He's got enough of them. I think the kids are taking over the manufacturing now.
Oh boy, I know. I saw a picture of Rocco and his extended family now on Instagram. He's got half a fucking baseball team.
He's got a squad. He's got a squad. If he gets any more kids, he's gonna have a platoon. But I love it. We love it.
Look, go to warfightertobacco.com. They got a special cigar, a Drinking Bros edition cigar, which is really nice.
Red, white, and blue band. Red, white, and blue band.
Yeah, and it's got the Drinking Bros logo on it. And you know what? Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 10% off all your cigars. They'll ship them right to your mouth. Like, literally, the postman will knock on the door and say, "Hi, do you have a package? Open your mouth. I'm going to shove this in and light it for you. I'm going to cut the tip off."
Right? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, all either right. that, but I look, I did have my postman did give me a circumcision, though. So he cut that tip off, too, and was just like, "Hey, man, I figured you could lose an extra inch." I thanked him, and I went on my way. Yeah. My grandfather made a nice wallet out of the skin. It's a really nice.
I heard they make great coin purses too. So
they did. We'll get you know what's funny? Later, you know? With mine, if you rub the coin purse, it becomes a briefcase.
Oh, it stretches the skin.
Nailed it. God damn it! I'm on fire. This microphone's on fire. If you hear water being poured on the microphones, because I'm on fire over here tonight. Next up, we got the finest novel ever written in the land, and we've got the best sound effect in the world from Matt Best. At night, she cries while he rides his steed. God damn it, I missed that. I missed that so much. The first ever romance novel for dudes, the funniest book ever written in the history of the United States or any other country. Look, I heard they just opened up Jesus' tomb for the first time in like 300 years in Israel. Inside of it, I bet you they're going to find a copy of At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. They're going to want to put Jesus back to sleep with it. I can tell you that, Alec. Last but not least, we're the Black Rifle headquarters here for BlackRifleCoffee.com. Matthew, why don't you tell us about it?
They already fucking know, though. You know, I'm just kidding. Yeah, if you want to check out BlackRifleCoffee.com, there we do a subscription base. We do roast to order coffee. We do everything. You know, when life says fuck you, we just drink coffee. That's the way I look at it. I'm
You're
fueled by that
right.
shit. You know,
you're I'm goddamn right.
It. So if you go. For the subscription base, if you type in drinking or drink in bros, you get 20% off your first purchase with the subscription. So that's the way to go, because if you're fucking lazy like me, I don't want to order coffee every day. We ran out of coffee yesterday and I was fucking pissed. We ran out of coffee
and
booze and it was miserable.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It was the worst. It was I fucking Halloween came early, you know?
It sounds like
Freddy
Krueger
was fucking my mouth. I don't know where that analogy works in there, but it felt like it.
I don't either. It's like somebody making you wear a condom on the first date,
right?
Oh, man.
Dude, I know.
Gross.
Like my first gay experience with Charlie Sheen, he was like, "Let's wear a condom." I was like, "No, that's gross." You know? What?
You know, sorry. That was it, by the way.
I'm positive that was a bad joke. You know what I'm saying?
It was dudes with him. No, it's not. It really was dudes with him, though. And that's no lie.
Oh, really?
Did
you know that the likelihood of contracting HIV from like a vaginal way is extremely low compared to anal, because you're whatever. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, no. Look,
I read it on a HIV for Dummies book. So
yeah, AIDS is like global warming. It's a myth. It's a myth.
I want to be educated, Alec. I want to be educated. All right.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of an education, I just read the 1517 to Paris from our friend Mr. Scarlatos here. And boy, that was a fucking great educational read, man. You guys dropped the hammer in that train.
what did we educate you on exactly? Because
how to fucking like? I mean, so let's dive into the whole thing, because I know the audience is dying to hear about it, and they just had to sit through like fucking 6 minutes of sponsors. First of all, welcome to the show, and thanks for doing this. Like, I know you're a busy guy. We've seen you everywhere on Dancing with the Stars. You also made time to make a cameo in Range 15, and you're out promoting your book now. So thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Hey,
Ross, I will say this. Alec looks at me and goes, "Man, the last time I saw you, you were spitting in my face," because the fuck you part in Range 15. I was like, yeah. Sorry about that, brother.
Yeah.
Listen, he's been through sniper school.
Yeah,
he's had worse.
Hey, Ross, I want to say congratulations. Alec just graduated sniper school, so congratulations. That's a feat. That's a pretty dope school to go through.
Did you
so
really? Congratulations, Alec.
Did.
Look at that.
Yes. It was a lot of fun, actually. I enjoyed myself.
I can tell. The energy in your voice is so
super excited right now.
God damn. I would assume this type of monotoneness to kill a bunch of terrorists on a train and then go out and just snipe some people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just even keel. It was probably just another day at the gym for you. It was like fucking arms day for you at the gym. Like,
yeah.
Well, whatever. So let's dive into it, because those of you at home, like, everybody's heard the story. They saw it on the news. Let's start from the beginning. You were in the military, correct? What branch?
Army National Guard. So there's that. And then basically I was in Afghanistan, just kind of hating life on deployment. Super boring, you know, the best kind, whatever.
But lots of jacking off, though, because at least for me.
God, oh my, yeah. It was, anyway.
like, you develop a deep hatred for your dick? Like, you probably broke up with your dick a few times.
No, like, seriously, like, on deployment, and maybe you can contest to this, it's like, when you're bored, and you're like, I guess I have to jack off again. Like, it's number 7 today. I'm fucking bored. My dick's raw. Showers aren't good. I might get an infection from, like, over-jacking off.
Yeah, 7's impressive, too. It takes, I mean, especially when you don't have porn or anything like that. It's
dedication.
You gotta motivate yourself.
I think Rocco's PR is in the 20s.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
boy, yeah, he's a sick man, though.
I know. When we were in Denver, he was going for the PR.
Really?
Yeah, he was. Well, he was at 18 one day, and then he said he was going to break it.
That, whoa! I got nothing.
Yeah, look, he also made a girl pee on the carpet. So let's we can get back to that at any time. But
so you hit up your deployment in Afghanistan, and then you ended up coming back to the States, if I'm correct, right?
Yes. Basically, I was just bored as shit on deployment, so I was just like, I hit up my friend Spencer, who was in Europe, and was like, hey, let's do a trip to Europe. He was down. He invited my friend Anthony. I went back stateside for like a month, and luckily, before I spent all my money, we made it back to Europe. And
Where did you guys go? Was it specifically France, or did you go around Europe a little bit before that?
I stayed in Germany. Spencer and Anthony kind of toured around, did like the whole Euro trip thing.
Okay.
They got messed up a couple places.
Messed up how?
Like alcohol messed up.
Oh, yeah, man. It's fucking Europe, dude. They're party central out there.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, we're talking about Anthony Sadler and Spencer Stone, your buddies who were with you. What made you decide to go to Paris that particular day?
Well, basically, we met up in Amsterdam, spent like 3 days, 4 days in Amsterdam, you know, just looking at the water.
Uh-huh, looking at the water.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, everybody looks at the water in Amsterdam. We love it there.
And Frank House, too. I mean, there's that. We didn't do that.
There's the red light district.
Did you guys go upstairs?
There's pot cafes.
There's the Anne Frank House. We didn't do that.
So I knew you weren't freaking that. But let's just say if I ever went back to to Amsterdam, I would be knee-deep in... Well, not hookers, but probably marijuana, you know, because it's legal there. So.
Yeah,
but you're in the military, so obviously you're not getting down with that.
Obviously,
you know what, Alec? Now that you're famous, you can go back to the Anne Frank House, and they'll give you VIP and let you hide in the closet for like an hour. That's what I heard. That's what they do to like the really important people now in the world. You can go hide in that closet for an hour.
Oh God.
yeah, I'll pass. But yeah, we decided to go on to Paris. Because Amsterdam was too much for us. So we ended up getting a ticket. First class, of course, because that's how we roll.
Whoa.
Yeah, no. We helped this old British dude get on the train at the station and just kind of sat down where he was, which is kind of in the middle. And the Wi-Fi was really bad, so we moved up to the first train car. And
I hate when Wi-Fi is
I love
bad.
It's like personal really problems, man. The Wi-Fi in my underground train is super bad. I just need to go to the front row.
Well, first priority, right? So for sure. We moved up to the first car in the train. I traded Spencer seats because I'm a girl and like to look at the scenery as we ride by on the train. So
I'd look at the scenery with you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
that. Just hold hands.
Why not?
Fucking fuck it.
Sounds like a good time. So we're going. Spencer and Anthony fall asleep. We stop in Brussels. They kind of switch out the train crew and all that. We pick back up, and like maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, we cross the border into France. And I hear like this gunshot and breaking glass from behind me. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. But honestly, I didn't really think anything of it because we're in Europe. and they don't have guns because it's a gun-free zone, clearly.
oh, we should get on that fucking later.
Hey, man. Yeah. Anyway, so I hear that. I'm like, huh, that was weird. And about that time, a train employee is like running away from the noise at a full sprint. And I look back to see what he's running from. And there's this like shirtless terrorist looking guy with an AK.
Wait, he was shirtless?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was shirtless.
That's the only way to go out if you know you're going out, right?
Oh, fuck. Damn. Yeah.
Really?
Well, I kind of get that, a dad is that the bod preferred right now. Method? I probably wouldn't. I'd do like a tank top because then you couldn't see my fat stomach, but you could see my kind of jacked arms. It'd be
smart.
Good.
No, yeah.
Yeah, this, yeah. This, hey, by the way, is that a normal thing to roll in shirtless? I'm being dead serious.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No, it's not.
I feel like it would be.
No, well, not for me. Every dude I've shot had a shirt on, so.
No. Huh.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so no shit, there I was on this train to Paris. And this dude comes out.
Range 15.
With the AK. And so Spencer and I immediately like duck down. Like the only thought going through my head is like, holy fuck, I can't believe this is actually happening. Then I tap Spencer on the shoulder. I'm like, dude, let's go. And he like takes off immediately. And mind you, I'm thinking like, hey, let's go in like half a second. When he gets a little closer.
Yeah, let's
like,
poise. Let's make a plan.
Let's wait for him to shoot like half a dozen people for him to reload.
Essentially, he yelled, Leroy Jenkins!
But, so I'm looking through the chairs, right? And so I kind of have tunnel vision from the adrenaline rush. And so I'm like, dude, let's go. And I'm like looking at the terrorist. And then I like see Spencer out of the corner of my eye, like already halfway there. And I'm like, oh shit, he's already there. So I fucking get up and follow him. And he tackles the dude. I catch up to him. We basically just beat on him for a second. And mind you, like as Spencer's running at the guy, he's like trying to shoot him, get his AK up and working.
Yeah, the AK malfunctioned, right? That was pretty much the saving grace.
I'll get there.
Oh shit, you just said it though.
No, he was trying to shoot him.
Oh,
but okay. He didn't. And then I'll reveal later what happened.
I'm sorry, I'll shut the fuck up now.
Anyway, so we beat on him for a second. All of his guns are on the ground, basically. Spencer stands him up, gets him in a chokehold, and lays him sideways across the seat. And then the dude pulls out a handgun to try to shoot Spencer in the head as he's choking him out. But I'm right there, so I grab the handgun. I put it to his head. I'm like, stop resisting. He, of course, only speaks Moroccan and French or whatever. Yeah, so I pull the trigger on the gun. It's empty. I cycle it. I notice there's no mag in it, so I chuck it.
The pistol had no mag in it?
Yeah, the pistol.
Oh, shit.
That's what it was.
That's bad prep in his point.
Yeah, well, basically, back up a little bit, he got into a fight with a French guy right when he came out of the bathroom. And so he came out of the bathroom getting all of his weapons prepped and gets in this fight with a French guy who immediately knows what's going on. He's like waiting to go to the bathroom, so he was right there. Then a train employee, the same one I saw run past me, goes up to them thinking it was like a regular fight and breaks them up. Then he sees the AK. The French guy runs to the back of the train and the train employee runs to the front of the train. And that's when we first heard the gunshot and saw the guy running away from him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Spencer's there holding this chokehold. And now he's getting stabbed in the neck with a box cutter. So I pick up the AK that's on the ground. I put that to the terrorist's head and pull the trigger on that. But it's on safe, so of course the trigger didn't go anywhere. And instead of cycling it again, I just started hitting him in the forehead with the muzzle, basically.
Yeah. I like how you tried to murk this motherfucker twice.
Yeah, you should. I failed
both times, and I'm supposed to be infantry.
Come on, your national guns, but still,
you were ready. Like, all right, he's dead. You're done, dude. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then had to do that twice. That's still ballsy.
You went for it though. It wasn't. I like that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, so I just start hitting him in the head. He's cutting Spencer in the neck with a box cutter. Finally, he just kind of drops the box cutter. We get it out of his hand. I don't really remember what happened there.
Fuck a dude up with a muzzle break. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Hey, Alec, let me ask you one question real quick for the audience. How long is all of this taking at this point?
At this point, we're probably maybe like 45 seconds in. Like, it was not long at all.
Okay.
Yeah. So finally, he drops the box cutter. Spencer's holding the chokehold. I stop hitting him in the face because his arms are just kind of hanging limp now. And just as he goes unconscious, this like fat French train employee comes up and starts like slapping the terrorist on the face and telling Spencer, like, in French, he's unconscious, like, you can let go. And of course, we tell that guy to fuck off. And
yeah,
this British guy came up to help and basically translated for us. And so Spencer holds the choke for another minute or so till the guy's like really unconscious.
Fuck yeah.
We put him on the ground. Yes. I'm like holding the terrorist's arms behind like his back. And then I look over and this dude is like squirting blood out of his neck. It's the dude that got shot from that first gunshot. And so, of course, me being the person that I am, I'm like, Spencer, go get that guy. And so Spencer runs over and like, he's an EMT in the Air Force, so I kind of knew that it was his lane. But he goes over and basically puts two fingers in this dude's neck hole and stops the bleeding. And
this is a victim, correct?
Yeah, this is the victim that the terrorist shot.
That's just saying that the gunshot, Ross, the first one that they heard, he was one that you said took it in the neck.
Yeah, and right in the neck.
Where in the neck?
Yeah. Like, but I know one.
Yeah, actually, pretty much like right there.
Ouch.
I think it. Yeah.
So
it came,
you're saying
it came
like
in the front,
left side of the
right in the carotid artery. Actually.
Oh shit! Yeah. So it hit the artery.
So he was bleeding like crazy. Yeah.
Is he alive?
He did live.
That lucky son of a bitch.
I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. He'd lost so much blood; it was insane. But yeah, so I just hold this dude's arm behind his back. The terrorist Spencer's helping the bleeding guy. I tell the British guy that came up to help us, I'm like, hey, just like watch this guy, and if he wakes up, like, stand on his neck or something till he goes unconscious. I don't know what to do. So I leave, I take the AK, and I was like, okay, this thing didn't go off. Like, it's on safe, whatever. I'm just assuming it's empty. So when I cycle it, the bullet comes out, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. There's one in the chamber. Why didn't it go off? And I pick it up, and there's a dented primer. And so I was like, oh, shit. We got, like, crazy lucky, obviously.
Yeah.
So then I clear the rest of the train with the AK, and tell the people in the back of the train to like stay where they are and if anybody else was hurt, and they're like no. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I go back up to the front of the train, I clear the AK, and when I got back, the British guy had like hog tied the terrorist with neckties. Like, it was
I like that.
Yeah. No, it was awesome.
Listen here, you piece of shit, you got untied. That was more Australian. I can't do a British accent, I'm sorry.
That's not a knife.
Well, yeah, this dude was a badass. So he tied up the dude with neckties, and so we didn't have to worry about him anymore. So I just started gathering up all of the terrorist weapons and like just put them on a chair, I guess, so they were all in one place when the cops showed up. Then I went over and...
Is the train moving still at this point?
Actually, it stopped at first once the terrorist attack happened, and people were like jumping off, breaking windows and shit. And then once they realized somebody got shot, they picked up to the closest train station.
Okay.
So it was kind of like stop for a little bit and then we're going again. But yeah, so I went
shit,
over.
But before the guys are secured, the terrorists are secured?
No. Yeah, basically. Well, once somebody realized it was a terrorist attack, they pulled the emergency brake basically and stopped the train. And so like, I don't know, probably like towards the end of the fight, it was coming towards a stop. And then we were only stopped for like 5 or 10 minutes. And then we picked up because, yeah.
Damn.
Shit.
And then basically I cut the guy who got shot. I cut his shirt off and did like a blood sweep checking for other injuries. Spencer was still holding his neck hole and like he lost so much blood. It was insane. Like it was carpet and it was just.
And imagine, was he passed out, the guy?
No, he was conscious and
really?
Talking.
Oh,
and
my God.
Spencer was like, got his wife over there and he's like, hey, like keep talking to him and like, you know, trying to keep the guy like, I guess, engaged and conscious.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, like, I mean, because we all thought he was going to die. So Spencer was like, hey, you want to say a prayer with me or something? And the dude's like, yeah, I'm good. And so we're like, okay, all right, whatever. Have fun with
he
that.
He passed on the prayer.
Yeah. And so, like.
He was Ross, he was living on it.
I was
he
just
was living
say,
on
he was living on a prayer. He was Bon Jovi up
I had laid it up there. Yeah. I had laid it up on the tee.
We were all thinking you guys could.
Yeah.
Basically, we just kind of sat there holding, like, making sure the terrorist stayed unconscious and making sure this other guy stayed alive for, like, it was about 30 minutes until we got to the station from the time of the attack.
What?
Yeah, we were
30
on there.
30 fucking minutes?
That's a long time.
We were on there for a minute just kind of, like, chilling, I guess, making sure nothing else happened, just taking care of the weapons and the
holy
guy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and we finally got to the station. There was cops everywhere. The train stops. I kind of get out of the way, like 5 or 6 EMTs and cops hop on, and the first like break, I hop out with Anthony, and I like sit down on a bench, and I just look over at him. I'm like, dude, I'm glad we didn't piss our pants. Like, that was fucking rough. Like, I honestly like, I mean, when you think about something like that, like, I honestly thought like I was gonna piss my pants. Like, I don't know what my reaction was gonna be.
You know? Wish a motherfucker would until they do.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, oh, shit. It's the truth.
So true.
It's all fun and games until motherfuckers have real bolts and real guns. So
yeah,
it's all fun and games until you're in a gun free zone.
Yeah, for real.
What is your feeling on gun free zones?
Oh. I think they're retarded. Because I mean, honestly, like the train attack. Like, okay, it's Europe, but theoretically, if like one of us had a gun, it would have been super easy because he was just standing up in the middle of the aisleway. Like, it would have been a perfect shot. And then, like, not even a month and a half later, on October 1st, my college got shot up. And, like,
that's right.
If somebody had a gun, they could have stopped that super easy because the guy shot the teacher from outside of the classroom and then goes inside and starts shooting people. So they saw him coming. Like, if somebody had a gun, they could have just pulled it out and shot the guy when he entered the classroom. And then, like,
do you know the guy, the kid that got shot in that?
Oh, Chris Mintz?
Yeah. See, we had, I think, connected right after it happened because we helped push the fund for him.
Right.
But then he just kind of fell off the map after that.
Yeah, he kind of keeps to himself, honestly. You kind of just have to like run into him in town, I guess. I don't know. he's kind of a quiet guy.
And what were you going
to
say? You said right after that.
Yeah, and then a week later, like Spencer goes out to a bar in Sacramento and my little brother's like, hey, do you want to take my Glock? And Spencer's like, no, I'm good. And then he goes out and gets almost stabbed to death again.
He was supposed to do range 15. Yeah, he was supposed to do range 15 with you.
But he's busy. By the way,
you were awesome in the movie.
Thank you.
So what was the conflict over? We heard conflicting stories because we were on set when we heard the
next
day.
Well, I mean, you kind of assume the worst when you hear your best friend was almost stabbed to death outside of a gay bar. But
wait, what's assuming the worst, that he got stabbed or that he's gay?
he got stabbed in a
good
feud over a gay man.
Okay.
I was worried. I'm like, well, there goes like all of our fame now.
Nothing wrong with being gay.
Yeah. No.
But anyway, it turns out what it was about was he was with some girls at this bar and they got in an argument with some like Asian dudes, and one of the Asian dudes punched this girl that he was with. Turns out they were in a gang and just mean dudes, I guess. I don't know. And so Spencer, of course, had to go in and defend this girl. And then he gets jumped by like five Asian dudes. And the funny thing was, is there's like a video of it and he's winning this 5-on-1 fight. And so they have to start pulling knives to win, basically.
Yeah, I saw the video was released.
I have not seen the video.
No, he's kind of sprinting around and shoving him off, and then you see him start getting tagged, and he even walks away like a boss after he got tagged with the knife.
And then passes out in a ditch.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he got stabbed in like the heart, the lung, and the liver. But
Jesus.
Like the one that got him in the heart didn't go all the way through. I guess it just nicked him. But they thought he was going to die. They had a homicide detective in the ambulance with him, questioning him on the way to the hospital because they didn't think he was even going to make it that far.
Wow. Which
What happened to the Too Fast, Too Furious crew, the Asians?
They, I think they caught like one of them, and that's it. So, yeah, that's why I believe in carrying guns, because they're still out there. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, bro.
Still at large.
Alec, what was he doing at a gay bar, by the way, that late?
Apparently, the story I got was that it was college night and dollar shot night.
Hold on. So I'm going to say this to Spencer. I hope Spencer's gay because he's a badass, which means go bang gay dudes and leave more of the girls for me. Because
I thought you were saying he's a badass, so I was hoping he was single or...
No. I was just saying, like, because he's going to steal all the hot girls.
He doesn't want competition.
Yeah, I don't want competition.
He doesn't want competition.
Yeah, Spencer does okay in the women department.
You don't go to the meat yard without a cattle prong. What?
The meat yard. Oh, boy. We got a hero telling personal stories here. You're talking about the meat yard with a cattle
fucking
prong.
Meat yard.
That's it. You never heard that? My grandfather used to say that to me all the time.
No, I never heard that.
Gay bars in a meat yard. That's what this fucking episode should be called. Gay bars in a meat yard with
exactly. Close. And look, if Spencer takes a dick, he takes a dick. We don't give a shit.
No, we do not at all.
But Alec, I want to back up to when you get off that train.
Yeah.
You guys realize what you've just done. Do you have to go through like questioning with the police, and how long does that take?
We didn't really like realize what we'd done. Like, I knew what we did, but I was just like, huh, I wonder if they're going to reimburse our train tickets to Paris. Like, honestly, that was like the first thought in my head. But yeah, we go to the police station. We get interviewed first by the local police, and that British guy translated for us because he spoke French and English. So he translated for us. But then we had to redo the whole interview because they needed an official translator. And then we had to redo that interview to do it again with the like federal version of the French police, like their FBI, I guess.
So all in all, how long are you there?
Like 5 hours. It wasn't the worst.
Fuck.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. But the funny part was the detective that we first talked to had like this little like sticker badge over his real badge that was like sewn into his sweater, like, you know, the ones they give out to kids, like this little fake badge.
Like at the dentist.
I asked him like through the translator like what that was, and he like looks down at it and laughs. And apparently what they do is they put those over their badges so people don't think they're on duty when they go to bars. So this dude came from a bar to the scene of a terrorist attack.
Holy shit.
This is like small town France. Like, I guess I can get away with it. So I hope this doesn't like reach France, because I don't want to like blow his
cover. There's nobody that listens in France.
Yeah, probably true.
Probably one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Six.
There's probably a few.
Actually, you're right. We did get a package from France.
Yeah.
With all those berets.
We did. Oh, fuck. We need to take that picture for them.
Oh, no.
Shit. Sidetracked.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so we were there for like 5 hours. We get a... This was just Anthony and I. Spencer's at the hospital at this point for his stab wounds and shit. So,
yeah, how many stab wounds did he have?
He got two like really bad slashes on the back of his neck. One was only like an inch away from his carotid, and then his thumb was basically completely severed except for the bone. So he had to get hand surgery done.
I heard the Air Force acted like some fucking jerks in this.
Yeah, a little bit.
I did. You're in the army. You could say it.
Not right away. It was more the aftermath. Yeah. They basically kicked my mom and I off of like Rammstein or Longstuhl or whatever that base is down there.
Jesus.
Because we flew there afterwards, and they're like, "Oh, well, you've been here for 2 days. Someone's got to start paying for your hotel." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm out then." So
you're kidding.
And who makes
that decision, by the way?
I don't know. I think it was just some like colonel or something. Spencer's mom called like the two star, whoever was in charge of the base, and like bitched them out. So
the story I heard is like the Air Force was being really kind of selfish. They didn't want Alec to steal the spotlight from Spencer.
Well, I think it was basically just because they didn't want, like, it was an Air Force base, Spencer's Air Force, and they didn't want me like there. They were making it all about Spencer, which is totally fine, but. Like, we go back since we were like 5 years old. Like, you don't got to like kick me off or anything like that. That was weird. But,
right. Yeah. You're just like, I hope my.
It wasn't like you guys were some.
I went there with.
Well, they're trying to make it a publicity thing. You're like, can I just be next to my best friend while I see
Yeah, this is one of those things when officers start getting really fucking gay.
Yeah. Like,
and you just need to start smacking them.
So Alec, after this, how long until you realize this is, oh my God, this is going to be a worldwide story? When did the press kick in?
Well, the press kicked in, honestly, like that night. Like, we left the police station. We went out to get some dinner. Like, they took us out to this really nice French restaurant. And
are you covered in blood at this point? I'm being totally serious.
Actually, I was, yeah. So that was strange, because we were at this, like, honestly, it was probably like a 4 or 5 star like restaurant, like super good French food. And it was so good, we decided to call Spencer up and brag about all the steak and wine and shit we were eating. Meanwhile, he's like wondering if he's going to lose his thumb in the hospital. We're like, dude, you should be here. Like, they got like French wine, like steak. It's amazing. We're talking to the press.
They brought us girls.
Yeah. Did they shut down a separate part of the restaurant for you?
Not really, because it was honestly, like, by the time we got there, it was like 10 or 11 at night, so they didn't really need to. It was pretty much only us there. They kind of like opened it for us, honestly.
So you guys are covered in blood at like 10 or 11 at night, eating at a 4 to 5 star restaurant.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then like and then like 20 minutes after we got there, like the media starts showing up, and I was like, oh, okay, like I kind of expected that. But honestly, I didn't really realize how big of a deal it was till I got back stateside, honestly.
World news.
Well, I think there's like that constant, you know, headbutt with the French and the fact that an American, you know, the Americans were the ones that interjected and kind of saved the day in that situation.
Honestly,
it's
like,
kind of cool.
The weird thing was like the French were all about it. They like loved us, but
that's dope.
Like, you could have called your book "I'm Famous in France."
And now you're famous around the world. I mean, my mother-in-law
turned to France at any point in time, and
we went back this summer actually.
And how was
the 1 year anniversary?
How
was awesome.
It?
It was
like,
great. Yeah.
Rock star like Taylor Swift.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
No.
We kept it pretty low key. Honestly, the embassy people over there didn't want us like making a big deal out of it in case like ISIS wanted revenge or something. I don't know.
Jeez.
Weirdos.
Boring.
Alec, my mother-in-law is not impressed by anything I do, and she was impressed that you were in Range 15, and she got a picture. She was like, oh my gosh, finally, you're not doing something lowbrow. And I was like, well, you should wait till the movie comes out and
don't be so
judge for yourself.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But she was, I mean, look, because you were famous in every realm of the world in the United States. At that point,
yeah, that's what I realized when I got home. It was ridiculous.
And what? And when you got home, did you get a call from the president or anything?
Well, I think
that's what most people assume.
Well, we got a phone call like literally the next morning after the attack in France from Obama, and then we met the French president and got the Legion of Honor. Then we came home, and like after being home for like a month was when we actually met Obama and.
How was that?
Did all that.
How was that, by the way?
Pretty cool. I mean, Obama.
I've heard he's pretty cool. Yeah,
he's actually really personable. Yeah, he's really personable.
Yeah.
Super nice guy, honestly. I can't really complain too much there.
Yeah, as much as we dislike him, everybody behind closed doors is like, dude, personally, he's a fucking great dude. Like, yeah.
Well, being someone personable is completely different than how you run a country.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, but
hold on. Like, I'll drink a beer with Jared every single day of my life, but will I want Jared to be president? I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, more over me. You wouldn't want me to be president. I'm a really chill, nice guy, but I'd be a horrible president.
Ah, motherland.
Motherland.
Fire the missiles. I'd be great at it. Jared, you'd be awful.
No, I would do better than you would.
Sandwich fucking Sundays and Saturdays.
Yeah,
I would create
new holidays. I'd put money into things that were cool.
Yeah, like you would not do that. Hey, Alec, were you single at the time that all this happened? When you
yes.
go back to, oh, how was that?
Oh, these
that had to have been crazy,
these,
right?
It was okay, but honestly, I was a little bit busy after it all like went down. Not in the good way, but like the too busy to be busy kind of way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, have you benefited at any point from this?
I would say,
what's the best? Yeah, what's the best like
story?
Benefit?
Did you get to meet Taylor Swift?
Like,
or
yeah, that was like, oh, that was the coolest.
Like, so mine from like being in the entertainment business, I had sex from meeting her to penetration was about 4 minutes.
I think it was even less than that.
Was it?
I think it was one sentence. And as long as it took you guys to get to the bathroom.
Right.
What did you say? Because I'm going to take notes.
I just sat there.
You didn't
there.
Say
oh,
anything.
Yeah, okay. I don't.
She just came up and rubbed his tattoos and went, I love your tattoos.
Do you have a condom?
Wow.
Do you have a condom? And that was it.
Is that a true story?
That is
real.
I'm not going to timestamp that when that was. It wasn't in the last year. I'll put it that way. But
wow.
Yeah, it is. So Alec, what was your coolest story so far? Did you get to meet Taylor Swift, Oprah?
I got to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger,
oh,
Clint Eastwood,
fucker.
Now, Arnold was super cool. He invited all of us over. We had dinner at his house. We worked out in his gym. We just talked.
Dude, so that's my celebrity crush.
Dude, that's Matt's dream.
Arnold. Like, he is.
He was
the epitome of what American dream is.
And you went to his
is.
House.
He's a goddamn inner.
Had dinner with him.
Oh, my God. Oh,
you motherfucker.
It was pretty sick.
Did you give you his phone number?
No.
I want to be Arnold. That's my only celebrity
guy. We were there for like 4 hours. It was super cool. I met Clint Eastwood, which is honestly like a super close second. It's really a tough call.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Clint Eastwood was awesome. He's a really nice guy too. I don't know. It's been honestly like for being in the military, Range 15 was actually pretty damn sweet.
Oh shit! Hell yeah!
Do you get a lot of Range 15 from people?
Not really. We actually like when I was in sniper school, like. Obviously, like my spotter that I came with, and like one other dude knew who I was, but nobody else did. And they like watched Range 15 with my spotter like laughing because they didn't recognize me.
Oh, really?
And then he like made them watch it again, and they still didn't recognize me. And then I went like 2 more weeks before anybody found out who I was. And that was honestly, that was hilarious.
Well, that's cool that they're all watching it.
Yeah, no, they're watching it. But yeah, that was just.
I kind of like that poke in Range 15 because it's so subtle. It's just like the people who know, and the ones that don't, like, whatever, you know, but it's rad. And we appreciate you coming on set that day. It was awesome.
That was so much fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, sorry for spitting in your face.
And yeah, sorry for putting a bow and arrow through your friend's
and though, you have volunteered to play a bad guy in our next movie.
I would love nothing more, actually.
To play a terrorist.
Yes.
To play a fucking terrorist.
Yeah,
we would love to have you do
you
it.
You got light eyes and blonde hair. You could
honestly,
be like a
Ross,
Russian
like,
terrorist.
Oh, already, yeah. this is shaping up to be great because Morgan Luttrell volunteered to be in the next one as well.
Yes.
Where he jumps out and we go, oh my God, it's Marcus. And he goes, no, it's Morgan. And you knew that already, dick.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. So Alec, it's been a full year now since this happened.
Oh, yeah.
Is your life still just as crazy? Like, do people recognize you, or are you more out of the public eye now that this is
people
all?
People recognize me, but it was because I was on Dancing with the Stars. They don't really know.
That was my next question, by the way. That was my next question.
They recognize me for that.
Dancing with the Stars is a whole nother level. Yeah, of America.
Yeah, that's like pop culture famous. No one cares about war heroes and people that serve their country. They care about, oh my God, you're on Dancing with the Stars. It's the undeniable truth of our society these days. But
and most people don't even know how I even got on that show in the first place. They're like, you're on Dancing with the Stars.
They don't care. Like, they want to know how those hip moves, you know, girl?
I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't
know. What stage did you get to in Dancing with the Stars?
I got third, actually.
That's right. You got pretty high up.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Nick Carter, the Backstreet Boy, beat me, and Bindi Irwin, Steve Irwin's daughter. So honestly.
Bindi's rad, but let's face it. Nick Carter's already a trained dancer. Like,
exactly. He was in a fucking boy band.
Yeah.
You're fucking serving your country. You should have beat him.
But to be fair, I honestly should not have gotten third. I went way farther than I thought.
Really?
Way farther.
That's how do you think it was because you were a hero and they were like, oh shit, we got to keep voting for this guy. Like, he almost died.
I guess. Like, I don't really know what they were thinking, but somehow I got third and I'm not complaining.
Did the cast hang out? Like, did you hang out with Nick at all? Or any of those
a little
guys?
Bit, only because, like, we kind of had to at certain points. Like, Nick is actually pretty cool. Honestly, most everybody on that show is pretty chill. It was actually a lot of fun. Like, Paula Deen had a crush on me, and it was amazing.
Oh, wow.
Like,
you know
Paula
she could cook
Deen.
For you afterward.
Paula Deen,
she could cook for you right afterward,
butter
too.
Chef, like, put butter on it. It's awesome.
Oh, Paula Deen.
Yeah, she was on my show.
Isn't she a racist or something?
Yeah, no,
she
said what they say, but
no, she said
she's
one,
awesome.
One
she's amazing.
Fraudulent slip that anybody's said in their life that could be used against her. I don't.
Yeah,
that's
it was. She's not
lame.
Racist at all. She's honestly like one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Yeah,
but
hey, can you tell the audience about that training schedule? Because I know Dancing with the Stars is rigorous. Like it's a hard training schedule, isn't it?
Does your audience really like care about this? Or
yeah, they do.
Probably not, but we do, and that's the matter.
Absolutely no. Like, here's the thing. Everybody at home, look. If this were to happen to somebody else, this is what you think as it goes through your mind. A standard civilian in America is like, oh, shit, if I was a hero, I bet I get to meet the president. I bet I get to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger. I bet I'd be on Dancing with the Stars. You're living this. Like, that's all real. But, like, Dancing with the Stars is a lot of work. It's a lot of training, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually was. I mean, honestly, just, like, obviously, you'd dance for, like, 5 or 6 hours every day, but then you'd have to do, like, other random shit, like go to wardrobe meetings, and yeah, it's
oh god,
yeah, and it was,
sniper school was better.
Yeah,
there weren't as many girls as sniper school, so
yeah.
Alec, I got a funny story for you. After we finished the movie, and you were still doing the show, I had to take all the sound files over to our sound mixer, Adrian Ordonez, at Levels Audio. And your rehearsal studio is directly behind the building.
No way.
So when I dropped it off, I pulled out, there's all these paparazzi, and they're just, you know, sitting out in the street. And I was like, who you guys waiting for? Who you guys hoping to get a picture of? And they were like, the guy that stopped that Paris train attack. And I was like, oh, awesome. Do you know his name? No, but he stopped that Paris train attack. And I was like, classic LA paparazzi.
Well, at least they knew what I did. Like, shoot. There's so many people that don't even know what I did. They're just like, oh, you're on the show. Like, we love you. I'm like, okay.
Hey, you're Marcus Luttrell.
Tell us about Marcus Luttrell.
It's funny because it's true.
You should have, Matt got Marcus Luttrell at an airport. We were telling Morgan that, and Morgan was just floored.
Yeah. Dude walked up to me and was like, Marcus? And I was like, well, who Marcus Luttrell? Like, no, wow. Marcus is like 3 inches taller than me, and we look nothing alike, but okay. Yeah, it is what it is, you know?
So what's your daily life now, Alec, what's it like?
Usually like a lot of Netflix, a lot of pizza, you know?
No girlfriend?
We lived a little of that today.
I'm seeing a girl now. I think it'll work out. She's super awesome. But yeah, honestly, life's pretty much calmed down since I got out of sniper school. Like, I'm just doing like random. I go to like dinners for rich people. I'm basically like a party favor. I come out and like sign some books. It's weird.
Yeah, is it a paid appearance? That type of thing?
It's actually not. But these people are like really cool, and they have a lot of connections. So I'm working that angle right now. So we'll see.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Yeah, he's a young man figuring out. What are you, 24 with all this shit behind your belt? You got serving country, the crazy shit you've been through. You just graduated sniper school. You got air assault behind you. We could probably get
you into SODIC.
You got
we have enough
but
friends.
A future, you know?
You'd be.
I'd give it a shot.
Why not? We'll make some phone calls.
Let's fucking do it.
Hey, whoever works at Range 37, please send us a message. Let us know if you'll let it.
As long as I don't have to re-enlist for it.
See if you'll let Alec come out and train with you guys.
When's your enlistment up?
Like November.
Oh, shit. You're short timing.
I'm actually, I don't think we'll make November drill, so I'm probably at less than a year now. So,
wow.
But who's counting?
Nice. Yeah. Mm.
I'll see if I can get you to Alaska with us this summer.
Alaska, is that where it is?
No, well, we're going up. We're going up to do some fun stuff in Alaska.
Sweet, I'm in.
What are you doing in Alaska?
Well, Ross, my guard unit is actually we're the TACP support for Alex's infantry unit. So he's in the 41st. I'm in the 41st. We can kind of intermingle there when it comes to guard speak.
Ross and I will just drink beers as civilians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll be in Alaska getting bear missionary.
Yeah, I'll be in Salt Lake getting, I don't know,
normal missionary.
Mormon.
Yeah, I don't know what
Noel missionary.
Missionary is what you're going to do. So Alec, at the end of the day, what are you hoping to do in this life? This beautiful life that you got left.
Well, now that's honestly what I'm trying to figure out right now. So, job offers sent in my way. I really have no idea.
We're going to recruit him for Black Rifle.
Yeah,
he got
a job offer about an hour ago. We'll see.
Okay. over at Black Rifle and the boys? Yeah, look.
We just want him around, drive
cars in the parking lot top speed. Were you a part of that shenanigans today?
No, you were. He got in late, so tomorrow we'll take him around and do some donuts and weird stuff.
Jared has fun in his little car, though. He drives fast. I like it.
We actually, you know, we can hit up Justin because Justin did want to take the trophy truck out tomorrow, and he'll jump
at
135 feet.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
and do I have to be in it?
You can be in it.
Oh God!
God! If he dies that way, it'd be the worst. Wouldn't
right?
It?
That's
be like,
way,
oh, dude.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He saved all these people on a train, and then he gets killed with Jared in a fucking car. jumping a dune buggy 135 feet, whatever the fuck it is. Well, look, well, if geez. They really did offer you a job at Black Rifle, that'd be rad. That'd be nice of them. But anybody else out there who's listening who would like to have an American hero as part of your workforce, hit us up or hit him up. That'd be awesome. You'd be doing the country a good service.
And before we forget, because we probably forgot to bring this up, you guys wrote a book.
Yes,
right?
We have a book. Yes, it's called The 1517 to Paris, which was, I guess, the time the train left.
The 1517 to Paris, and yes. that details your guys' history as three friends that grew up together.
We grew up together. Like, Spencer and I have been neighbors since we're five. Our families are still neighbors. Like, just all of us growing up together, the trip, the terrorist attack, of course, and then, like, the aftermath, a little bit of what happened. I mean,
Drinking Bros.
Yeah.
You need that book. I bought it.
Look.
I haven't read it yet, but I saw it.
I didn't expect you to.
I couldn't walk past it without purchasing it.
It came out August 23rd, actually when I was in sniper school, which was funny, because they were all doing all this press and stuff, and I'm just sitting there in sniper school with nobody knowing who I was at the time.
That's a good thing, though. That's a good thing, man.
I honestly would take it that way.
Yeah but you're still, you're going through very challenging courses that the U.S. Army has to offer, and you're not asking for handouts or favor.
Where do I sign?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's available in bookstores everywhere, correct?
Yeah, it's at Costco, airports, Amazon. Too. Yeah,
everywhere in the airport. Apparently. I see it.
Yep.
I see it all the time.
Well, The 1517 to Paris is an amazing true story of friendship and bravery, of near tragedy averted by three young men who found the heroic unity and strength inside themselves at the moments when they and 500 other innocent travelers needed it most.
That sounded scripted.
Ross is a professional, dude. So who knows?
I tried to. God damn, Alex. Now that you're
Ross,
here, it's hard. It's hard.
You know
what
I think
saying?
We need to do? I think we need to give Drinking Bro of the Week to the two that
Spencer.
The two that
exactly.
can't be here.
Spencer and Anthony, yep.
Because Spencer just sent me a message right now that said, where was my invite? So we're gonna have to get him on a plane tomorrow.
We are. If
Alex, my dude. We're gonna be friends. Yeah. You can have Spencer.
All right, well, we're both Air Force.
I like thumbs. You know, I like Army and thumbs.
Well, a thumbs up to Spencer Stone and Anthony Sadler, and cheers to all three of you guys.
Cheers.
Seriously,
cheers, guys.
You are absolutely our drinking bros of the week, the year, all of it. Look, we appreciate all you did, as well as the fine people in France.
Can I go into like a small tangent before this episode ends?
Here we go.
We don't ever have to end the episode.
Cool.
Here we go.
So this is my thing. The word hero, and I like it. And so people need to follow example by Alec, right? So in Spencer as well, you guys have an opportunity where you could have been self-centered and left that environment, but yet you actually acted out to protect others, right? Hold on.
Kind of.
And I'm not sucking your dick here. I'm actually kind of doing the opposite, because a lot of people are like, God damn it, you're a fucking hero. And I won't take that away from you, because you are. But the thing is you actually did something to benefit other people. And has how society has like progressed, people are so selfish and so self-centered that they're willing to run away and let nine other people die rather than take the opportunity to be like, I might get hurt, but I could stop what happened. So I think you guys have a perfect example of saying like, let's actually be proactive and try to benefit other people rather than worry about myself.
At the end
of
the day,
too,
they both returned to duty.
Exactly. And
they
still went back.
They both still
went through sniper school after he's progressing his career. It's like, just don't be a bitch. It's a great story. I fucking thoroughly enjoy it because,
well, I mean,
it's an example for what people should be.
It's living the creed, you know. Essentially, it's say, hey, I'm an infantryman. I'm serving the country. I said I will run towards danger and try and defuse it, and they did.
Well, I mean, you can even mitigate it to such a small level where it's like you see a fucking chick getting her fucking ass beaten by a boyfriend and you're on the other side of the sidewalk. You're like, no, I might, that guy looks scary. Fuck no. I might get my ass beat, but I'm going to go fucking try to stop it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's essentially what happened on a higher scale.
Yeah.
But
well, that's kind of the thing is like, I mean, we really couldn't have run, but it was mostly like we're either going to die here being scared shitless or we're going to die on our feet. And I mean, obviously, when Spencer went, I didn't really have much of a choice. I had to follow him, right. But I couldn't really leave my best friend just like hanging out there. But honestly, it's just kind of like, you just got to do something, because there were so many people on that train that just like sat there in shock, even like 10, 15 minutes after it was over.
Yeah.
And they were still just like too afraid to move. Like, if something's happening, just do something. Like,
do something.
Anything. Like, contribute in any kind of way. I mean, like, even if you're a chick and like there's some huge dude doing something, like, at least be a good witness or go get somebody or just yell.
Do something.
Like, do anything. Like, so many people just sit there in shock that. Really, in any kind of situation, you'll at least help if you do something.
Well, in general, civilians, I don't think we'll necessarily be ready for that. But, like, at least, exactly, be proactive in your brain. We're like, how can I help? I can at least witness. I can film this. I can do something. But do something that's going to help someone else out other than being self-centered. So, cheers to you guys, man. Thanks for being on.
Cheers.
Not you, Jared. I was saying you guys. Him and his dick. It's a nice dick.
Yeah, yeah. Jared, stop drinking. Whatever the opposite of cheers is, do that. Go inner with it. Go inner. Alec, we appreciate you stopping by the show and classing it up for once. If you've listened to the other shows, Jesus, it's hell in a handbasket. So it's always nice to have somebody... who's done something special in this world on the show. We thank you for being here. We thank you for listening. For Mr. Matt Bess, Alex Scarlatos, or Latos, if you're going, you know, hard or soft A in the middle of that name, and JT&T Taylor. I'm Ross Patterson. It is. I'm Ross Patterson, and we are out of here.
Love you
guys.
Good
night, everyone.
Good night.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.